The three main Democratic candidates running for governor traded barbs last night at the WPRI Providence Journal debate. Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay was there and joins us now. Hi, Scott.
Great to be here, Paul.
Scott, the candidates spent a lot of time talking about how they would jumpstart the state's sluggish economy. For you, whose ideas stood out, especially in terms of detail, not just broad talking points?
Well, they all use broad talking points. They all want to do things that we know should be done. Invest in infrastructure. Start to rebuild the state's roads, the bridges, the schools. And they all acknowledge how to do that. Raimondo had a little bit more detail on saying that she would use money from the sales tax to try to start financing some of this stuff. She also put more emphasis on bringing back manufacturing jobs, and Tavares seemed to really focus in on the need for a better-trained workforce here in Rhode Island, saying that it's very sad that we have jobs begging because we don't have qualified employees. So it really is a philosophical argument here. Do you really believe we're going to bring back jewelry and textile jobs and things like that? We're not. And on that point, Raimondo is engaging in a little bit of nostalgia and, frankly, a little bit of fantasy. It is probably true that we could get some high-value manufacturing jobs, but those really require some very educated people. They're not low-skill type employment.
And education itself got a lot of attention. They were asked about whether they agreed with Education Commissioner Deborah Gist's move to delay linking tests to diplomas. And it seems all the candidates agreed with the move, but their positions on the issue seem to vary.
A little bit. Tavares and Raimondo pretty much were singing out of the same hymnal, but it was Pell who came out very strongly against using standardized tests as a method of judging students and giving them their diplomas based on that. He seems to think that we need to invest in things like music and that schools should be more than just about testing, high-stakes testing. Tavares also said that he didn't want diplomas linked solely to testing. However, he and the general treasurer, Raimondo, pretty much said testing has to be part of the curriculum.
So, you know, Pell, Raimondo, and Tavares all had different answers on what their first day priority would be. Clay Pell said he'd sign executive orders for women's equality and government integrity plans. Raimondo and Tavares said they'd focus on creating jobs on day one. What was your takeaway from their answers?
You know, reporters love to ask questions like this, but sometimes they're meaningless. This is only symbolic. There's never been an administration in Rhode Island or any other state where the governor's success was based on what he or she did the first day they took office. Let's be real. One thing Lincoln Chafee did when he first took over was try to show that he was going to reverse the policies of Governor Carcieri, and he mentioned things like marriage equality and getting rid of some of the anti-immigrant legislation and executive orders that Don Carcieri had put in on things like E-Verify for jobs.
You know, things got a little personal for Clay Pell when moderator Tim White pointed out that Pell didn't need to take money from special interests because he's independently wealthy and pretty much financing his own campaign. But that doesn't mean he isn't being influenced by the teachers' unions. And this comment drew applause. Did Tim White strike a nerve?
Well, Tavares had a comeback on this also. He just said, look, I can't write a check for millions of dollars. And I think people understand that Pell is independently wealthy. He's trying to use this as saying, I'm not being bought by anyone. I'm not close to special interest. He does, however, have the endorsement of the NEA, the National Education of Rhode Island. And a lot of people have used this against him to say that basically he's in the teachers' union's pocket.
Say, Pell and Tavares both went after Raimondo's pension overhaul, saying it's not complete, it's caught up in the courts. Raimondo countered back that the unions would have sued over any solution. How do you think she's defended the pension bill during the campaign?
Look, Raimondo's doing the best she can to spin a very messy process. This thing is tied up in courts. It may take years to eventually be resolved, but I think she wants to say that at least she had the leadership to go in here and try to do something about it. And I think that the legislature approved what she championed, and I think that's going to be kind of what she points to. That's her signal achievement as general treasurer.
Scott, September 9th is getting close, primary day, so the attack ads have been flying in all directions. Have they been effective?
Well, this race is breaking down into a pincher movement. If you were a military person, you would say that Tavares is caught between Pell on his political left and Raimondo on his political right. Now, he doesn't have nearly as much money as the other two, and the latest poll over at WPRI Pollster and the Providence Journal shows that Raimondo with a slight lead. But looked at another way, she spent about $3.5 million already to get to 32%. That's not really running away with a primary. What's happening is the progressive side of the party, which usually holds sway, the liberal organized labor side of the party, is split between Tavares and Pell, which gives Raimondo a path to victory.
You think the debate changed any minds? Did you hear anything new?
I didn't hear a lot that was new. I thought they all did a pretty good job getting their message out. They're a lot more polished than when they started back in June. We can say that. I do think that the undecided voters will start to pay attention now. What happens in these races is we have them in early September, and people don't focus until vacations are over, the kids are back to school. Now we're in crunch time, and the undecideds will start to move because we're just 2 weeks away from decision day.
Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.